Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. On today's Pardon My Take, we have Bill Burr, recurring guest Hall of Famer Bill Burr. Also, Hall of Fame discussion about recurring guest Hall of Famer Julian Edelman and why it's bullshit that his actual accomplishments have been belittled by the internet because he may not be a Hall of Famer. We have Hot Seat Cool Throne, and then we have FAQs. Get ready for a great, great, great Wednesday show, and we're brought to you by our friends at... Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Hey!
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by Simply Safe. Go to simplysafe.com/PMT today to customize your system and get a free security camera. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial, so there's nothing to lose with simplysafe.com/PMT. Today is Wednesday, April 14th.
Tax day.
Almost tax day, but it got moved.
I was trying to scare Hank. I was trying to freak him out on that one.
It's should we debate Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame day?
Well, let's debate whether or not we should have that debate, Big Cat.
Well, I was laughing. I was chuckling.
I think we should give him some respect on the career first.
Yes,
Hank, personally, maybe pause for 1 second and then debate.
Okay, yeah, good point. Right. Let's wait for all the facts to come out first.
Okay, so let's not. You're right, Hank. We need to give him his credit. But I also was chuckling to myself before we got to the show, and I was like just kind of doing a quick scroll through the internet to see if I missed anything, and it dawned on me that we're in a lull in the sports discourse because you obviously had March Madness and the Masters. You're waiting for NBA playoffs and Stanley Cup playoffs. You're waiting for the NFL draft, and it's so funny how the crutch that everyone uses, it's debate a Hall of Famer that no one really is debating except everyone's debating just so that they can dunk on no one that's existing. And then the other one is KD is fighting with someone online, so super teams come up. That's like the break in case of emergency. If there's nothing to talk about, you can always talk about super teams and KD being triggered online.
Or you can always do the thing where you invent somebody to dunk on. So
right.
It's like I saw somebody actually tweet this out the other day. Y'all say... Y'all out here saying that Kevin Durant isn't a good mid-range jump shooter. And it's like, no one said that. Him and like Allen Houston are probably the best jump shooters of all time. But yeah, you invent stuff to debate about. I do disagree with you about the Edelman thing. I don't know who you're following on Twitter. There are a lot of people that think that Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame. Off the top of my head, Skip Bayless.
Okay.
Mind.
No, there's for real there's who though.
I mean, that's one.
No, but this there's
Big
not.
Cat, no, you're in your echo chamber because there are tons of people.
I think you're in an echo chamber.
No,
then name them.
I'm seeing like 60-40. I don't keep a list of people.
I don't think you can name more than three
when you're
real
talking about
people.
Edelman, you shouldn't keep
three real people.
I can not off the top of my head, but there are a lot of people that think that Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame.
I don't know if you can name more than three real people.
Look at the replies to your tweet.
I said three real people. I'm not talking about fans who are obviously going to go with their guy. I'm talking about three writers, people who might vote for the Hall of Fame.
Tom Curran.
Three real. He said that he's probably not a Hall of Famer.
I thought he said that he was.
I'm pretty sure on his article he was like, I think he's an incredible Patriot, and he obviously had a lot to do with the dynasty, but probably not a Hall of Fame.
I've seen a lot of people saying that Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame. They might not have blue check marks next to their name, Big
Cat. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there are fans.
You're gatekeeping the Hall of Fame debate.
No, I'm not, because I'm trying to figure out where this started, because what's happening is it's basically what Hank just alluded to. It's not fair to Julian Edelman, who had an incredible career, that people are immediately being like, Hines Ward's better, Reggie Wayne's better, all these numbers are better. It's like, but no one actually, like, show me the few people that are actually saying he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
So I think where this started was, because this was bubbling
up for...
deserves
to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But show me the people who are saying this, he's a no-doubter Hall of Famer. They don't exist.
No, no one's saying he's a no-doubter. But here's the thing. It started, like, maybe 2 years ago, right when he was in the middle of another playoff run, when people were talking about him as being maybe the best playoff wide receiver of all time, not named Jerry Rice. And then from that discussion, people were like, well, how much does that impact
this
Hall
of Fame
case?
Is this a Greeny thing? Are you caping for Greeny?
You think Greeny would cape for a New England Patriot?
I think Greeny would be like, you know what's a really good debate that won't get me in any trouble that I can just start and do four shows about? Julian Edelman in the Hall of Fame.
So I don't think, well, I don't, see, now you've got me saying I don't think that he should be in the Hall of Fame, which sounds mean because he just retired and he had a great career, obviously.
Okay, so let's do it that way.
If someone retires and you don't immediately have a debate on whether or not they should be in the Hall of Fame, like Peter King shows up at your doorstep and won't leave until you laugh at his anecdote.
Right.
So he's been discussing this a little bit too.
I just don't, I can't find the person who's like running the Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame campaign. I can't find him.
Well, Billy was saying...
Him. That person is a fucking...
Billy, what did you say?
Agent of chaos. Well, Billy doesn't think he's retired.
It's the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Stats.
Okay.
That's my point on the matter.
Okay.
So you're saying that he's not a Hall of Fame receiver.
He doesn't have Hall of Fame stats, but he's a Hall of Fame player.
I well, think I'll go... I think he's a Hall of Fame human being.
There we go. Here's my take on Julian Edelman. He's an incredible player. Here's what they really should do. They should change the Hall of Fame. It should be, we should even make it more like nerdy, and it should be Hall of Fame above replacement value or where you were drafted. So if you do the Julian Edelman was drafted in the seventh round, he's a Hall of Famer because he exceeded all the expectations for his career.
He's a Mel Kiper Hall of Famer.
Right, and then if you have a first round, if you draft a guy in the first round, he has to have a like an insane Hall of Fame career to be in the Hall of Fame.
You know,
seventh rounders should get a little bit more of a benefit of the doubt for how much they exceeded what everyone expected out of him.
Yeah, I think what this comes down to is it's a lot of people that are essentially saying that the New England Patriots dynasty should be in the Hall of Fame. So it's not as much like Julian was such a big part of that dynasty. I think more the argument is just like that. Hank, you probably want like the entire run that you had. Every player that played on the Patriots going back to 2001. You want like Wilfork, Seymour, Malcolm Butler, your vest.
I wouldn't say Malcolm Butler. My vest should be in like a
probably
some type
at
of
at least should be in the Hall of Fame, not voted in, but it's part of the.
Right, like when it should someone, be, you should, when you go to the Hall of Fame and visit, there should be like a little section, like Brady Four, my vest, maybe, right. You know, showing my all the bets I won, my bet slips and stuff.
Right, but is that kind of the crux of it? It's mostly people who are just like, New England Patriots dynasty should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. His moments, like you said, will be in the Hall
he
of
is,
Fame
yes.
in like the moments as you're walking through the museum, like greatest playoff performances, the catch, the throw in the Ravens game. But yeah, he's not going to have a bust.
I'm
but
not,
that doesn't matter.
Right, it doesn't matter. And he has three rings. And I'm like...
And an MVP.
What it actually is getting me mad...
Super Bowl
that,
MVP.
That whoever created this debate has ended up making like the discourse about Julian Edelman's career, how he's not a Hall of Famer, when that shouldn't even be the question. It should just be, he's an all-time great clutch receiver, big moments. He was the one who came up through. Like, his career is incredible when you... Think about the fact that he was a seventh rounder and, you know, like a kick returner. Maybe like they thought maybe he'd be a DB, all these things. So I'm more mad that whoever decided, I can't find the person. I want you to find me the person, PFD, that created the debate of Julian Edelman deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, has now had the reaction of everyone being like, he's not a Hall of Famer. And it's like, shut up. Why don't you just celebrate the guy's career?
Right. It's more a matter of we've been talking about it as kind of like a theoretical experiment for the last couple of years. Like, when the day comes.
Who started
so there's been a
who
pre,
started
there's been
it?
A pre-debate going on. And there are a ton of people out there that think that. Jake actually had a great take today. I love this. We were actually discussing Julian Edelman's Hall of Fame resume, and Jake was like, the debate over whether or not Julian Edelman should be in the Hall of Fame should be in the Hall of Fame.
It's a Hall of Fame debate.
It is a Hall of Fame debate.
It is.
No doubt about it. And I do think that some of the people that are saying that he should be in the Hall of Fame, he gets
who are
like,
they?
Like an added benefit. Find I don't, you can search like it's find so them. Easy to find.
Find I couldn't find
thousands
him.
Of people.
I couldn't find anyone
literally
who's an actual
meme. Of people
who's
are
a
this.
Right?
Big Cat is yeah. Liam Neeson.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't find anyone who's a Hall of Fame voter or like an NFL writer or like someone who because I just can't stand. And I guess this is just the internet. I'm just hate the internet in general. But I can't stand the everyone arguing against something. It's like, but no one was arguing the other side. You guys are dunking on no one. So all I saw last night, like Hines Ward was trending. Reggie Wayne was trending. And people were tweeting out like, look at Reggie Wayne's stats. Look how much better he is than Julian Edelman. It's like, shut up, dude. Why don't you just appreciate Julian Edelman? No one said that he was had better stats than Reggie Wayne.
I think what you're seeing these people writing the articles in response to are the replies to people's tweets.
See, that's stupid.
That's who they're. That's who they're. Well, those are real people too, Big Cat.
They are, but that's not like those are like everyone's going to want their favorite player to be in the Hall of Fame.
I think that a lot of times Julian Edelman and Danny Amendola, Julian gets credit for some of the things that in the back of your head you think that maybe Danny or. He gets credit for the stuff that Danny Amendola did.
And Wes Welker.
And Wes Welker a little bit. So he's like, they should. There should be a bust for all three of them. Julie, Dan, Welker, Mendola.
It should just be just slot a, receiver Patriots.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Because when you roll them all into one.
I'm cool with that. And I think Julian Edelman, like, he's not. If I had a Hall of Fame vote, he would be one of those guys that, like, when they do the, you know how, like, Cowher got in and cried on TV and they let everyone in that year? Like, that would be a wait till one of those years. Whenever, what's that was a year, that was 100, right? So, like, wait till 150 and they start opening the door to everyone and they clean up the Hall of Fame. That feels like a Julian Edelman. And he's gonna, I think he, if I had to, like, guess, I think he will end up in it in, like, 20 years because people will keep it alive and it will, like, grow in
stature. And no other receiver will do what he's done in the playoffs
right.
in the next 20
right.
years.
Right. Right.
Ever.
Right. Ever.
It is crazy that Reggie Wayne's not in the Hall of Fame. That was wild.
When and Hines Ward.
And Hines Ward. That is crazy to me.
I mean, yeah, if you're judging by the company that you keep. It's very funny to me to see like what trends on Twitter when something that has nothing to do with them.
Right.
So like if like the day comes when Joe Flacco retires, you know Trent Dilfer's going to trend.
How has that not happened?
Because he's still playing. But you know
he's
that
gotta, he's going to do a mid-season.
You can
this
almost
year.
Predict yeah. like the runoff conversation that's going to happen with
Ray
Flacco's
Rice
retirement.
Will trend as well.
Ray Rice might trend on that. Big Ben retires, Deshaun Watson trends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's going to be I don't know.
It's just there's no it's a no I do debates are they get a little tired, but it's like if Julian Edelman's not in, Eli Manning's obviously not in either. That's why I don't get how people say that either.
Well, yeah, Eli was
I truly
case.
Don't understand. I never thought Eli would be in, but it's kind of what you're saying.
The argument would be longevity. Eli played for a lot longer. Like Julian Edelman was only he was
you got
like, to look
he
at
played
it,
quarterback.
He was, right. No, but
tough
I'm saying
to play for
I'm saying
a long time at a high level.
Yeah, I'm saying
right,
that would be the
quarterbacks have longer longevity in general than right. slot wide receivers going through the middle every snap.
I'm well, just saying the counter argument.
Eli yeah. Manning also beat Julie Dan Welker Mendola twice in the Super Bowl.
I think only one was Julie Mendola.
Julie Dan, Welker Mendola.
Yeah. Well,
Billy doesn't even think Julian Edelman's retired, by the way. We need to get to that.
I have a lot of faith in his work ethic, and I think he definitely is going to try to rehab it and come back.
He had an incredible career, Hall of Famer in the recurring guest book. And, yeah, he's like, I don't know. It's to me,
we'll
like,
get a bus made for him.
Being maybe they should have a playoff Hall of Fame. Because yeah. he would definitely be in there.
I'd like to see
that. Would be the Patriots one.
Yeah,
just call it the Patriots.
Patriots up,
Hall of Fame.
Shut up.
I actually feel bad. It ends up I feel bad for. I know he doesn't care, but I feel bad for Julian Edelman that this debate happens on the day that he retires. When it's like, shut up, like just appreciate the fact that he was an awesome player, and really no one's debating the other side. Shut up, all you writers who are debating against him.
We should wait until the facts come out in a matter like this. Let's not politicize Julian Edelman's retirement.
I want to find the fucking people. I want their agents of chaos, the people who started this. They just watched the world burn. They just set it aflame.
I think that we should include more unorthodox things in the Hall of Fame. Like they should
probably
induct
the NFL.
They
probably
should, Goodell. They should induct a football into the Hall of Fame.
I think there is one.
No, but they it should
oh,
have a
the
bu-
actual
like,
football.
They should
yes.
put the. They should make a bust of mm-hmm. the NFL football, the Duke. Put it behind the podium for 5 minutes, silence, have everybody stare at it,
yep.
put a gold jacket on it, and walk it off stage.
So Julian Edelman, in the playoffs, he had 118 receptions, 144
1,442 yards in 19 playoff games. And then if you actually take it where he was like a featured wide receiver, it was 14 games, and it was 1,200 yards plus 109 receptions, which is an incredible season. If it was a regular season, that's the playoffs, and it's 14 games. He's an all-time playoff player. That's just a fact.
You know what he is? That guy's just a football player.
Yeah, he is. Do you think we have a bias? Do you think the Hall of Fame?
Yes,
here's a real absolutely. Question. Does the Hall of Fame have a bias towards a position like slot receiver? Because it's similar to like a nose tackle who doesn't get the sacks. Like he doesn't actually get the sacks or the forced fumbles. He's, you know, impacting the games another way. A slot receiver might not have all the receiving yards or all the touchdowns, but he's impacting the game in another way.
Yeah, so I think that that's definitely a thing. I think that they should probably break it down to positions at some point in the future where you have a certain number of positions that get in at any given time.
Yep.
Like Art Monk. Art Monk didn't get into the Hall of Fame for like 15 years, and he was in the top five for almost every single category because you get these log jams that come up.
I just love like that this is – I mean, it's again, when we have like a lull in sports, it's Hall of Fames and then super teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way we do it.
Oh, I'm ready for a load management debate, too. We haven't had that in a while.
What? Who's doing it?
No, I'm just ready. That's the next one up.
Yeah, we're for sure.
Like the Kyrie stuff?
Towards the end of the
– We're getting close.
Yes, towards the end of the season, we always get the load management debates going. All right, so wait, is he – Hank, is he a Hall of Famer?
As far as I'm concerned, yes.
There we go.
That's one – I found you somebody. He is – you know what? He's a Hall of Fame human being.
There we go. Better human being than football player.
I don't even want to diminish his capacity as just a person by even talking about the stuff he did on the football field.
Yes. Billy?
You can't measure the value in the games he won the way that stats – portray him.
The
so
best
guys
argument,
like Hines Ward, the best should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the best argument that Julian Edelman has and Eli Manning is you can't tell the story of football without those guys.
Mm-hmm. I love that argument too.
That's the best.
Great. Yeah,
because you can't tell the story of the Falcons Super Bowl without Julian Edelman. You can't tell the story of Tom Brady's career without Eli Manning. So that's if anyone who is trying to argue this, use that and there's no comeback.
No, because it makes you feel warm. It makes you feel nostalgic about the game.
Yeah. You can't tell the story of football without Julian Edelman.
Who do you think would induct the football? I feel like John Madden would give a great introductory speech for a football.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good. Bill Belichick would be good for the football, too.
Yeah. He probably knows some weird shit about footballs that nobody else does.
Absolutely.
Like how to take the air out of them.
The clip that was resurfacing from Edelman's first, like when he got his first touchdown, punt return touchdown, because Welker was injured, and he just walks up to him on the sideline. He's like, you ever heard of Wally Pipp? That's going to be you.
I think. Wait, like, did Edelman say that or did Belichick
said it to
Welker?
And Welker was like, oh,
laughing.
The little guy, like for the punt returns, he's like, I don't want it. And then Belichick, way to compete. He's like, way to compete.
Yeah. And he had that preloaded too. You heard him on the mic talking to Ernie Adams upstairs. He goes, Ernie, what was the guy's name that played before Mickey Mantle did? Then he went over to Welker, said that, and Welker was like, I don't know if I know Wally Pippen. He was like, yeah, he's the guy that played right before Mickey Mantle got in.
It
Lou
is.
Gehrig.
I mean, that's,
sorry, Lou Gehrig.
That's the thing. Like I was saying, the argument that happens because of the Hall of Fame debate like diminishes how crazy Julian Edelman's story is in the NFL. Like,
I also,
being a seventh rounder, being a punt returner, ending up being Tom Brady's like number one safety blanket. It's crazy.
And he's just got so many cool plays.
He's got so many cool plays.
He's got, you know what he has? Signature plays.
Yeah. Yeah.
To catch.
He's got Heisman
flicker.
Moments.
He's not a receiver. He's a versatile football player.
There we go.
He's a word.
Offensive utility player.
He is a offensive weapon.
We haven't taped Bill Burr yet. We should definitely ask him.
We'll get into it.
Yeah,
he might be the one.
He could be. He could be the one we're looking for.
Knowing a little bit about Bill, I think that this might be a hill he'll die on.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone find me the guy. Because he is an agent of chaos. He just
I'm telling
lit a
you,
flame
Big Cat, there
to Twitter.
A lot of people. It wasn't one person that did it. I know what you're saying because there's not like one person.
There's
usually, outside of Skip Bayless,
right.
That's saying. And I think that Skip probably waited to see which way the wind was blowing. He's like, I'm going to go the other way because I'm Skip.
Right.
But it was a conversation that's been happening for the last 2 years.
I know that. It's
waiting
like
to bubble
it's
over.
Like, yeah, like a brush fire.
Yeah.
I oftentimes like have tried. As we've been on the internet for a very long time now, whenever I see everyone tweeting about one thing, like dunking and being like, this is absolutely correct. I try to find out like, well, who are they arguing with? And if it's no one, it makes me so angry. Because mm-hmm. You guys are just getting free points for nothing.
Listen, I'm agreeing with you 100% on that. But I think in this case, it's a little bit different.
I got to find the person. Someone produce the person. All right. We also have news that Sean Payton is being put into, or it's a movie about Sean Payton's 2012 year with Kevin James playing the role of Sean Payton, which is... now makes this the movie of whatever summer comes out.
I'm very excited for it, and I would like to be cast as an extra in the movie.
Yes.
Just want to put that out there now.
And we thought about who we would put in the movie for the rest of the roles. Now, that I think Kevin James, once Kevin James is the lead, it just opens up the entire casting where you can just take as many risks as you want.
Anybody.
Yeah. Kevin James is such a good actor that it covers up everyone else's faults.
Right. I had a list of people that are strictly from 90s sitcoms.
Okay, I have some of the names, too, yeah.
So let's talk Greg Williams. He has to be in the movie, right?
Yeah,
plays a big role.
Yeah.
So you could either go with Big Pussy, the rat.
Okay.
Or you could go with Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond. Or, this is the one I think I like, Ted Danson.
Okay. I was thinking we get a little something off of the Space Jam and pick up someone who got cut. Pepe Le Pew.
I like that
skunk
too.
Skunk hair, a guy who everyone hates now.
Never
canceled.
Never takes his foot off the gas.
Yeah, never takes his foot off the gas. He's never heard like he has his set way, mm-hmm. and he's going to keep doing it that way. So I think you have a little bit of animation in the movie, and you have Pepe Le Pew play Greg Williams.
That could be good.
Yeah,
I'm on board with that.
We'll all hate him.
Okay, here's one that I think you guys will like. Mr. Belding is going to play Ed Warder.
Ooh, okay. So who's going to play
Goodell? Mr. Belding beefed up post Saved by the Bell.
Are you talking about
got big
filter?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll put him on the diet. Okay. We'll get him. Billy will spend a week with him. He'll slim down.
What?
Maybe like a month.
I like that. What about Roger Goodell?
That's a good question.
Mr. Feeney?
So Mr. Feeney would be great as Roger Goodell. I also think that...
Newman?
Newman, good choice. The guy from The Americans, the guy that played the FBI agent from The Americans, I forget the guy's name. But he looks like Roger Goodell.
Okay.
What's his name? Frasier. Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer as Roger Goodell could work, too.
I was thinking about some
Rappaport.
Which one?
Goodell.
Oh.
Oh. Ha, 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 ha.
I was thinking some outside-the-box casting. I think we should have Darren Sharper in this movie, who's in jail right now.
Hope so.
Definitely in
jail.
As
far as we know.
We should make Peter King play Darren Sharper.
Yeah.
He thinks that he's a Hall of Famer.
He
Let's
is the
make
guy.
Peter King play Darren Sharper, and like that's Peter King's cross to bear.
I like that. We could have Screech as Ian Rappaport.
Okay. I like that. Oh, I have what? Screech is dead. Yeah, that's right. Screech is dead.
That's fine.
He's very dead.
We'll reanimate him.
Big dead.
Hologram Screech.
I was thinking for Drew Brees, something age appropriate, Clint Eastwood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. I like that.
Or Jerry you could, Seinfeld. Or we could have him be Will Ferrell, but it's Will Ferrell when he's Ricky Bobby, but only when Ricky Bobby thinks he's paralyzed.
Okay, I like that.
I
like that
character.
Too. You could have Millie Bobby Brown play his daughter,
yes.
and she gets a bloody nose because she's so mad that she's not allowed to play football.
and then the Saints start like winning games out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and magnetic
controlling it with her brain.
I was thinking who would play Aaron Cromer, who was one of the coaches for the Saints who I hate forever because he was part of the Trestman Bears, and he punched a kid on the beach.
Yeah.
So maybe just Aaron Cromer plays Aaron Cromer.
I don't think that he'd let anybody else play him. Let's see what else I have here. I had one more. Oh, yeah. Dr. Nick Riviera as the team physician.
I like it. I like it. That's perfect. That is perfect.
Will Smith as Will Smith.
Yep.
Oh,
I had Will Smith as I had Carlton Banks as Jonathan Vilma.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. And then I had when in the scene where Sean Payton, he's taking that year off, so he's spending all his time watching film, stealing the Eagles trick kickoff play.
Doing CrossFit.
Yeah. So you remember that play
yeah.
that he stole from the Eagles? Riley Cooper, played by Michael Richards.
Ooh, perfect. There it is.
Typecast, yeah.
Yes, that is perfect. I'm so excited for this movie.
Yeah, I don't want to burst your guys' bubble too much because I know, you know, this was a fun project for you guys, but I think the movie is based off of the season that came after the Bounty season.
Correct. Yeah, that's
what we're saying.
Focusing
yeah, yeah.
on...
That's why Aaron Cromer...
No. when he was coaching his son's sixth grade.
Yeah,
football.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why he's, yeah. he spends the entire time watching.
Well, there's got to be a lead up.
Players.
Yeah, there's got to be a lead up.
My guess is that it's going to be like,
oh, it's going to be like a Disney
minutes.
Movie
yeah.
where he's just coaching the kids.
Right.
So Rick Moranis should be in it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, well, keep him away from Aaron Cromer.
Like, I don't think they're going to be. I don't think Greg Williams will be making an appearance in this movie.
If
Sean Payton has anything to say about it, I think Greg Williams will play.
Oh, he'll take the heat of it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. This will probably just be like 90 minutes of anti-Greg Williams propaganda. Which, I mean, I would. Hats off to Sean Payton if he's that petty to make a movie about himself.
Yes.
That's just taking a shit on his biggest enemies. I think that he is.
We should get, yeah, so we'll make a movie poster with some of our casting decisions. Oh, man. Yeah, the CrossFit years for Sean Payton. Didn't like all the Saints get injured when he came back?
They had like back injuries.
Yeah, he was like, hey, we're going to do CrossFit.
Because he got inducted into the cult.
Yeah.
AC Slater, Mario Lopez plays the CrossFit instructor.
Yes, that's perfect. That is perfect.
We got to work out a role for you, Billy.
Billy?
Assistant,
just
volunteer
assistant.
Coach,
assistant,
assistant,
Pop Warner team,
just assistant.
What's? I think it's a high school coach.
And it's Pop Warner. It's like sixth grade.
Yeah. It's,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. His kid was young.
We might be a little too.
Well, we
big.
Need to have Jerry. Jerry Jones should be
big.
Jerry Jones.
Yes, because flying in on the plane.
I think he was coaching his kid in Texas. So Jerry Jones is probably watching, being like, "I want that."
Oh, mm-hmm. You guys would be great dads on the sideline, just like peanut gallery type
just
stuff,
screaming. Yeah. That's good. I like that. You could be a kicker.
I was going to say, I think
yeah,
I
like
could
you should,
pull
no, you'd
off.
Be, you'd be actually a good role for you, big guy, with like drop off your kid to the coach and then make like a quick bounty joke.
Ah,
and then, you know, kind of walk away.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Hey, you know.
You'd throw him maybe some paper towels and be like, hey, in case you need a cleanup, here's the bounty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Aha!
I could play your kid.
Yeah, and you kick.
You drop me off, I'm the kicker, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Okay, we're good to go. Let us know if you want us to help with this movie, whoever's making it. All right, should we do Hot Seat Cool Throw, and then we'll get to Bill Burr? And we got FAQs, and we have a horse stable now with Spider. Hank, Hot Seat Cool Throw.
My hot seat is Shannon Sharp. You alluded
trending.
To it earlier with
yep.
the Kevin Durant. This is how it started. He basically got duped by one of these like fake Instagram accounts that post quotes that you think are real but aren't real. And then he ran with it on his nationally broadcast show. He said, the quote that he said, which isn't true, Kevin Durant never said this, but, you know, if you put it on a quote card, it seems legit. This is a quote card that said, it was from Kevin Durant, said, if LeBron James is the GOAT, and I beat the GOAT two times and hit all the shots in his face, what does that make me?
Wait, so he never said that?
Kevin Durant never said that.
And Shannon Sharp is saying that he said that.
Yes, that's how the debate started. He said mm-hmm. that. He's like, Kevin Durant said this.
The lull. The lull time. We're in a lull period.
Right, and then Kevin Durant obviously went on Twitter, was like, I never said this. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yep.
And then Shannon Sharp, like, blocked him and, you know, has gone silent. So.
Yeah, good for KD. Great for KD. If you see Cap, say Cap. And he called him out. Yeah,
Cap.
You guys like that? Cap is, by the way, Cap's strong right now.
Yeah. In a way, it is,
uh-huh.
but yeah. not in the way that you're talking about.
No, it's back. It's back big time. You brought the dad back. I brought Cap back.
Yeah.
Cap's here. It's not going anywhere, and you're capping right now.
Yeah, no, no.
The dad was
definitely capping.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
so
the
cap is Cap, but it's fun to say.
Yeah, you love it. No, I listen, you do you. I'm not going to cap. Is that, did I even do you? Is that right?
It sounds like you're capping about not capping.
I remove myself from the cap conversation.
Cap in the hat.
I don't want to be in the cap. I can't figure it out.
Barstool big cap.
I'm of the age now where I'm happy to say when I don't understand anything and I can just say, you guys have fun.
I do think it's funny though that for two separate reasons, Kevin Durant and Michael Rappaport have been heavily featured on Undisputed in the last week.
Yes, yes, big time. Get them together. Get the big gang back together.
You know what? Let's keep it going, though, because I like Shannon Sharp reading these fake quote boards and taking them as gospel. So just send Shannon Sharp fake quotes about every athlete.
Yes.
That's in the news cycle.
I'm down
for
see
that. How much he falls for.
Yes.
Then my cool throw is Mystery Flights.
Ooh.
Do you guys hear about this? Read about this?
I did not.
So this is a tweet I saw today. It says, Mystery Flights are the next big thing. Qantas is the latest airline to offer flights to undisclosed locations, providing passengers with clues about what to pack and teasing itineraries by the airline. Would you ever book a mystery flight?
I mean, that's basically...
As a vacation enthusiast, I would say yes.
That's flying on Spirit Air.
Yeah, that's funny.
You don't know if you're going to land. It's actually more thrilling.
I'd be down for mystery flights, but the problem with this idea is I bet you it's all like cool places. They need to throw in like, and that, now I think this place is cool, but like it should be like Fiji, Paris, France, Youngstown, Ohio. And it's like you mystery flight. That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be down. And I would rather go to Youngstown than the other two places.
Because you do need a little element of danger in it.
Right, exactly.
Otherwise, like, it's all fun and games.
Right.
Yeah. Where are you going to land? Is it going to be on the good Bahama Island or the Firefest Island?
Yeah, like Bermuda. Yeah. Ugh. Imagine if you land.
Why don't you just go to Firefest?
Firefest, yeah. I was thinking of another island out there.
Oh.
Don't want to land.
Don't want to land there. No. Check the logs.
Yes. But yeah, it would be funny if it was just the total gamut. Like, you can go to Cancun. You can go to Hawaii, or you can go to Duluth, Minnesota, in the middle of winter.
I'm down. Lakes
up there.
Yeah, yeah. You're gonna do it?
Yeah, I'm down. I mean, if I can take time off.
Well, why don't we just do it ourselves? Why don't we just spin a globe and send you somewhere?
What about Grit Week? Mystery flight?
Yeah, just spin the globe. We spin the globe and we put you on a flight somewhere.
I'll go with you.
Okay.
It would actually be pretty fun.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Sure.
Somewhere in the U.S.?
Worldwide, Mr. Worldwide.
For a weekend?
Do the flights leave from the U.S.?
Just a weekend?
Qantas, I think.
Yeah, we're not going for a full weekend.
Overseas airline, isn't it?
Well, it's content.
Yeah, that's true. It is content. Billy would just show up to the airport with, like, six cases of Coors Light. Be like, what, was I not supposed to do that?
It'd also be hilarious if you got on the flight and the mystery flight was, once it takes off, Mystery, the pickup artist, just came and stole everybody's girl.
Yes.
He's got just 40 magic tricks ready to go.
Fucked your wife in front of you. I like that. All right, PFT, your hot seat, cool to run?
Okay, my hot seat is Jimmy Graham. Jimmy Graham is on the hot seat. My Washington football team just signed a collegiate basketball player to play tight end. Ooh. He's never played football before.
I saw this.
His name is Samus Reyes. Great name.
That is a great name.
Shady Reyes. He's 6'6", 260, runs a 4.65. He's Nino Gronk. He's the baby Gronk, the next baby Gronk, and he's from Chile, too.
Adam Shaheen is the next baby Gronk.
He played at Tulane, and this is a guy that immediately, in my mind, he's already a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this guy is going to be the diamond in the rough that turns around the entire frame. Him and
Fitzpatrick. More of a Hall of Famer than Julian Edelman.
Right now, the odds are about equal in my brain. But every franchise, every fan has to have that guy that they sign that they put like all the hopes on,
uh-huh,
because there's this like air of mystery behind them.
Yes.
And right now, this is my guy. He seems cool. He seems like, I saw him catch passes in shorts.
Done.
He didn't drop them.
Done.
I'm all in.
Done.
My cool throne is Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
Bills Mafia. They just announced today. Congratulations, Buffalo Bills fans. It's going to be full house next year.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to be vaccinated, but it's going to be full house. I actually think that just spending time in Buffalo, attending Bills games, if you can show that you've attended 30 Bills games in your life, you're probably immune to every disease known to man.
They should give a vaccine. They should have the vaccine out of Pinto Ron's bowling ball.
Out of the bowling ball?
You just drink it. Yeah. Everyone in Buffalo would be vaccinated yesterday.
You just fill up a ketchup bottle, yes, have somebody stand on top of a van and squirt it down on you.
I think
that they would, yes, it would absolutely 100% work. Make sure to wipe your dildos off with sanitizing wipes, mm-hmm, before you throw them.
Yes.
But I'm very excited. We saw, I think it was like 20,000 Bills fans in the stands for the playoffs this year.
It sounded like it.
It felt like a full house.
Yes.
So I'm very pumped for Bills fans.
All right, my hot seat is our Nuggets. Remember we were a Nuggets podcast last year for like a minute?
Mm-hmm.
So Jamal Murray tore his ACL.
Yeah, it sucks.
So the Nuggets are cooked. And that does suck because they actually were like one of those teams. Like, oh, maybe if they get a nice run going, makes it a little bit easier for LeBron. Makes me a little more bummed out. I also just love Jokic, so that sucks.
So are we going to be Jazz fans now? Same team.
We got to figure out, yeah, I don't know, who in the West do we root for?
The Blazers. They technically swept the Lakers last year.
Yeah, the Blazers. I don't know. We can't be Clippers. Fuck the Clippers, right?
I'm going to cast my lot with the Blazers. I like Dame. I like CJ.
Yeah, I love CJ, and I love how the Blazers play, but I just don't know. Ooh, we could be Suns guys.
Suns, yeah.
Suns guys, Frank Kaminsky. We could be Suns guys. That might be
team
the key.
Bonding.
We need to find out because the Nuggets were definitely the team that we were going to probably root for to beat the Lakers. Now we have to find a new team.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be tough.
I'm okay with jumping on the Suns bandwagon.
Yeah, I think that because also the jerseys are sick.
Yeah.
Reminds
you of the old days, Dan Marley.
Yeah, we.
Kevin Johnson.
Much like the Suns, we routinely as a podcast get our dicks sucked together.
Mm-hmm.
Like all these things.
That's our pregame routine.
Yeah. Right, Jake?
Of course.
Oh! okay.
Did Jake know what he just said, of course?
I don't think he was listening.
I was listening to the Suns.
Yeah, you don't know what you just said.
You don't know
okay
what you just said, okay, dude.
Right, no.
Oh, my God.
Going to have to clip that.
You have no idea?
Pretty much the worst thing you could have said.
I was looking at backup Hatsu Cool Thrones because I know I'm last in line, so I was kind of all over the place.
Oh, it's not the only time you're last in line, if you know what I'm saying, what we're talking about.
Of course.
Oh, shit, Jake. Oh, fuck. All right, my Cool Throne is baseball because we do officially, I'm ready to call it Ronald Acuna. Fully the face of.
Face of baseball already.
And maybe, so I think Ronald Acuna is the face. I think Shohei Ohtani, I don't know what he would be, the ass, the forearms. The
probably the arms. The arms,
the arms
baseball.
Of baseball.
Juan Soto, probably the quads.
Yeah, yeah.
Quads of baseball.
I just think Ronald Acuna, like, did you see what he did? So he did, the on Sunday when he beat out the very routine infield hit to shortstop. And then last night he scored tagging up from third on a pop-up to the second baseman in like shallow outfield.
Yeah, was that that wasn't the infield fly rule, right?
No.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
It was awesome.
The dude is insanely fast.
Yes.
He's everything that I was told Billy Hamilton would be.
And he's doing the like he fucks around with guys, you know, like hits them in the nuts, hits them in the face, hits mm-hmm. them. That's part of it.
So
you gotta have fun.
I think it also matters the uniform that he's wearing. When he's wearing the throwback, the
yes,
Hank Aaron ones,
yes.
That at that point he is the face of baseball. When he's wearing the normal Braves uniform, I don't know. I grew up watching the Braves and loving the Braves when I was like a little kid, and they were always on TBS. So I always have a soft spot for those like mid early 90s Braves. But those jerseys, it's tough to be the face of baseball in those jerseys for whatever
yeah.
reason.
And he also has, which I love, if I were in Major League Baseball, I would always have this, the sliding mitt. Fucking love the sliding mitt. It's got to give you an extra, what, like 2 or 3 inches?
I was going to say it's probably like a full second.
It's crazy.
It makes you, no, it not only protects you and lets you reach out further, I think it actually makes you faster.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love the sliding mitt. All right, Billy, hot seat, Cool Throne.
My hot seat, humans. There was like a real life Black Mirror episode with a robot running around New York that was like working for the government.
What?
As like, yeah.
It's a cop robot.
Yeah, cop robot.
What?
Yeah, RoboCop.
Robot dog.
But it was
now,
like a robo dog cop.
Do you respect that robot? What would you do if you saw that robot?
I'm not down with robots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Even if he's wearing the badge?
Big corporation.
My
Billy?
Cool throne is number one.
All
Heinz Ward.
Are you saying all canines are bad?
No, just the robo ones.
Okay. Wow.
Heinz Ward, Cool Throne, because now I think he's going to end up getting into the Hall of Fame.
He gets a boost, yeah.
Yeah, he gets a boost.
Yeah.
And then my other Cool Throne is Shaq, because he bought a dude an engagement ring.
Nice.
In a jeweler. And doesn't that mean that technically Shaq's marrying the... Because he bought the ring?
I don't know.
No,
yeah.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
I don't think that's how it works.
Julio Urias, he should be the chin of baseball.
Ooh, I like that. I like that. Max Scherzer's the eyes.
Yep.
All right. That was good, Billy.
Thank you.
All right, Jake, last as always.
Yeah.
Slurping up, getting slurped last.
Of course. The hot seat is the...
You still don't know.
No.
Damn.
I wasn't listening. I'll be honest.
People are going to... You thought
I
what you
tell
said
you.
About blind people last week was bad.
I want to share what you said, but I think it's better if you find out for yourself tomorrow.
Yeah.
You need a whole night to think the worst things, and then it's going to be twice as worse mm-hmm. as what you think.
Yep.
I'll be all right.
You do go last, though.
Hot seat.
Yes or no?
Hot seat is the Arkansas Pine Bluff women's softball team. Yeah. North.
It's a good thing you looked up backups.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was my fuck. I forgot. I had that written
North
down.
Texas women's softball, Hope Troutwine, threw a perfect game, all 21 strikeouts. First time in
that's
college
sick.
History.
Okay, that's sick.
Pretty cool.
Good job, Jake.
And then Cool Throne.
Jenny Finch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big time.
Cool Throne are fans of Sweet Life of Zach and Cody and Home Alone because Macaulay Culkin and London Tipton had a kid.
Whoa. Oh.
Brenda Song.
Jake, are you finished?
Complete.
Okay. Nice. This is the best episode ever. I never want it to end. I want to stay inside of this episode.
Just accidentally spit some of the water instead of swallowed it.
Was that good for you, Jake? Just answer it. Was it?
Of course.
Okay, yeah, nice.
You want a cigarette?
Never. Disgusting.
A little less stressed now that you were able to get those last two Hot Seat Cool Thrones?
Yep.
Yeah, I could feel it. I could see it in your face.
Sometimes you just got to throw out the blueprint and just string one together.
Just put your hands right on your back and
just, you know what? You just open your mouth and you see what comes out.
Let it go. Right?
Kind of catching on here, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right, let's get to our interview with Bill Burr. Before we do that, PFT, you had a quick word from our friends at...
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
And now here he is, Bill Burr.
Okay, we now welcome on our very good friend, recurring guest. It is Bill Burr. He is getting back out on the road. July 2nd, it starts. Finally, we have comedians returning to all of the arenas and places where we can actually sit and watch comedy. It feels good to be back. Las Vegas is where it starts. It's going all the way till December 30th in Phoenix, Arizona, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Minnesota, Kansas City, Pennsylvania, Atlantic City, all those places on the way. It's great to see you. And it's great that we're actually announcing that you're going to be back on the road. I'm so excited that we actually have a little return to normalcy. Which stop are you most excited for? Because I know you love arenas and different like venues.
Dude, I'm just so happy to do stand-up inside again. Like, this has been such like, it's been horrible for so many people. Obviously losing jobs and losing loved ones and stuff. But like the one thing that has been kind of fun is I kind of learned how to do hell rooms again. Like I had that muscle memory still in me. It took a minute, but like I did a gig for the Comedy Store right outside the Rose Bowl. You know, they got the golf course. So they had like 700 cars and you could maybe hear like 20 people. And it's just, and all the headlights were on. It was the most bizarre. It was really bizarre. But I guess, you know, my buddy was walking around saying, everybody in the cars was laughing. But that's the kind of thing like a year ago, whenever the hell this shit started, if I went right from a theater to that, I would have been on my heels. I would have imploded. I would have abandoned my act and just done. But I was able to kind of stay in the pocket of it because there was a few people in pickup trucks sitting in the beds of their truck. So I was just sort of playing off to them as I just looked into this abyss.
Did they at least have the courtesy to like flash their high beams at you when they were laughing?
Yeah, they do that. Honking's a bad idea. We thought honking was a good thing at first, but then it becomes it's sort of like automotive heckling after a while. So so I did a gig down Hermosa Beach recently. That was fun. Like the 2 days before the friggin' Klan did their rally down there. Which is always, you know, it's funny how people perceive LA. It's just, you know, the idiots in Hollywood are always running their yaps and they have big platforms. So people think that that's what's out here. And it's just like 20 minutes from that liberal lunatic is somebody with a Klan hood.
Yeah, you opened for the Klan is what you're saying.
I was sort of on the Klan weekend. I was. We eased in. I had sort of the white supremacist Aryan.
I mean, that's also kind of tough for you as a fair-skinned individual to be performing outside all year. Like, you probably ran through some sunscreen.
Well, it's at night, though. It's at night. But, yeah, it's the reason I don't golf. It's the reason I always try to get baseball tickets under an overhang or any sports. The sun does not like me.
Have you been to a game since like they started letting fans back? Because I know you love going to games, and we told this story last time you're on. But pretty much the last game that was a normal fans was the LSU-Clemson national championship, where we were sitting like two rows away from you for the whole entire time without realizing it.
I know, and if there was pandemic seating, I probably would have saw you as I was walking down the aisle, like,
right.
Hey, there's Big Cats, what's up, man? Yeah, that's crazy, right? And I can't believe I didn't get it, that I didn't catch COVID, considering right before the S hit the fan there, I was in the Superdome, just jam-packed with people. So anyway, I just got the second vaccine shot yesterday. Didn't get sick either time, just had like a sore arm. Felt a little weird for a couple hours, and then I was good.
Are you going to do
all of this shit that people are saying about that Johnson & Johnson thing?
Yeah.
I love how six out of a million and people freak out, but they still play the lottery. Like, they like those odds. They'll still vape.
Yeah. I mean,
with cigar smokers, they're like, yeah, you know, you're not inhaling it. You're fine. They're just smoking like two a day. You know what it is? When they rolled out and even then, just because six people got it, you know, had these bleeds or whatever, they still recalled it. Like, that's how safe it is. How many Crown Victorias with the gas station and gas tank in the wrong area burned people alive when they got rear-ended before they finally moved that thing? So I just want them to be like, from the people that cured polio and every other plague before this.
Well, yeah.
The people who saved you from your ruptured appendix comes.
You can say that they cured polio, but in the same breath, you have to mention that the Johnson family also owns the Jets. So not everything that they touch turns to gold.
True.
Listen, if I learn anything in life, everybody's a little flawed.
That's true. It is funny that you bring that up, because I the initial reaction when I see it, I haven't gotten the vaccine yet, but I was planning on getting Johnson & Johnson. I'm like, ooh, maybe I won't get that one. And then, like, my car, like, 2 years ago, they sent me something in the mail being like, hey, we recalled a piece. You got to bring it in ASAP. And I was like, fuck that. I'm not bringing it in. Yeah. I'm just going to try to keep driving this thing. It's very stupid. We are very stupid people.
Well, I am a firm believer that there should no longer be 24-hour news networks, because just the sheer panic of having to fill up all that time. It's what happened to ESPN. When ESPN was the dream. Imagine if they had a 24-hour sports network, and then they did, and they actually used to show sports and stuff the whole day. They would show random stuff during the day from around the world. It was like MTV. They used to show music, right? Then I don't know what happened. They expanded ESPN2, the college one, whatever the hell that one is. And then I think with streaming services and the internet, now everybody just has to scream like Chicken Little and act like the sky is falling over everything. That I just find that CNN and Fox News, they should be tried for treason. All they do is divide the locker room.
Like, I agree.
When I was
with
a kid,
yeah,
Republicans and Democrats could, you know, have debates, but it didn't go the way it's going now. I mean, it's just insane.
Do you know what happened at ESPN? Magnus von Magnuson retired, because I remember that was always the thing, the World's Strongest Men. They would put on World's Strongest Men for like 10 hours a day, all day during the day. And that was the best. You just watched.
Oh, they'd have pool sharks on.
Yeah.
Minnesota Fats and Willie Moscone. I love that stuff.
Yeah. You just watch a fucking huge ass dude lift a rock and put it up on like a pedestal. And that's way better than a debate show that debates the same thing over and over.
They also had sort of weird aerobic shows.
Yes.
During the day, there was a guy I remember with black curly hair. He'd be on the beach. And then there was one
body shaping.
I
want to
say like
remember
one of those
body shaping.
Yeah.
Yeah. Body shaping. Body and then there shaping. Was like one of those Brooke Burke type chicks, like the hot chick doing the, you just sit there like eating chips, just watching her doing.
Yeah.
Doing aerobics. Fun.
That was my first experience being horny.
Yeah.
I was like 5 years old watching body shaping before kindergarten. I was like, I don't know why, but I really like this show now.
Yeah, I'm a body shaper.
You know where they really lost their way?
I was the body shaper.
Yeah.
They lost their way when they canceled Playmakers. Did you ever watch Playmakers?
I vaguely remember that. I just used to like to watch the games, and then I loved SportsCenter, and I loved when they would throw their jokes in, and Berman, of course, with all the nicknames and stuff. It was sort of like right through the 90s, sort of the mid-90s, the 80s into the 90s, it was unbelievable. It was the greatest channel I would watch Sports Center on a loop. I would watch the same one like five times in a row, like my favorite episode of Seinfeld.
Well, and it ruined it. The thing that really ruined it, and it's not ESPN's fault, is that you basically can get all the highlights right away. Because we were kind of talking about the same thing, but like as children of the '90s, PFT and I, Sports Center was like, oh, I want to watch the highlight. Like, you can't. There's no package. You don't get to watch every game. You watch Sports Center, you get to see everything. It was appointment television for that exact reason.
Yeah, and ESPN killed the This Week in Baseball type shows.
Yeah.
Because for the most part, all you would get as a Boston fan, I'd get the Red Sox and maybe some game that mattered if we were in a race with the Yankees or the Brewers when they were in our division back in the day. You get a little bit of those highlights. But like I used to watch like Inside the NFL.
Yeah, Inside Stuff, NBA Inside Stuff with Inside Ahmad Rashad.
This Week in Baseball. Then hockey's always like the ugly duckling. Like they kept trying to have like, you know, those – I'm sure they had them up in Canada. But and I remember how insane it was. Like when I first started doing the road, I used to sit mainly in the outfield because most of the highlights that Mel Allen was showing were home runs. Like when I went to the King Dome, I remember how they used to hit a home run. You see those people running along that little aisle.
Yes.
That ran parallel to the outfield. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to do that. Like Ken Griffey Jr. was still in center field back then. So I went to a lot of those ones before they tore them down. But anyway, somehow we got to that. That's good, though, in a sports show. They went from the vaccine to talking about the kingdom.
Are the sports reporters where you had John Saunders, Mitch Albom, and like Mike Lupica usually just – they would just sit around and compete to see who could tell the oldest story.
Yeah.
Like, who remembers the oldest thing in this room?
But their opinions were like gospel for some stupid reason. It was kind of before anyone – you know, I mean, obviously I think it's better now that everyone – fans are a lot smarter, numbers, all these things – but you'd sit there and watch these old guys and be like, yeah, you know what? Like it's Muhammad Ali number one and secretary at number two for greatest athletes of all time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we're smarter as fans? We definitely have access to more information, but the thing is, whatever you're working with is what you're working with and like whatever brain you were given. So if you're a moron, you can read as many books as you want.
Yeah.
I actually think like to a certain point, overloading dumb people with a lot of statistics makes them dumber. It just makes them more confident in their ideas and their conclusions they were going to reach anyways.
Yeah.
You know what my favorite thing is when a dumb person takes mushrooms and then after their trip, they feel like they're smarter and they try to explain the universe to you. It's just like, yeah, you're not smarter. You're just a dumb guy that was tripping.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I feel very seen right now.
You should listen to my podcast.
I think fans are – so it's an interesting question because I think fans have more tools. They have more information. But I also think that what's happened with sports, and we talk about this all the time, but you, like, forget that it's sports and you forget, like, the human nature of it. So it becomes a number and it becomes – the Alabama-UCLA game was a perfect example where we were joking about it. You know, we had Nate Oates on before the game. And he's talking about how there's a 4-point line, and they don't. If you shoot a mid-range jump shot in practice, it's only worth 1 point. And then what happens is Alabama, they lose the game on the free throw line, which is a mid-range jumper, and UCLA hits a bunch of mid-range shots. And it's like, oh, yeah. So I think his way probably will work overall. Like, if you do it forever, it will eventually win out. But, yeah, in a one-game situation – it probably hurt them a little bit that they never practiced mid-range jumpers.
The fundamentals. That's interesting. You know, it's funny. I actually, my pick to win it all, and I didn't watch any college hoop. I just picked Michigan just because I used to have family out there, my grandparents. So I picked them, and it didn't work out. So I lost money to Verzi, my buddy. So he picked Gonzaga, right? So when they were playing Baylor, I saw Meta World Peace, and Meta World Peace gave me the heads up. He was doing commentary. He goes, I feel like in this matchup that Baylor is the hip-hop team and Gonzaga is the rock and roll team. And I was like, I know what that means. I know what that means. Do not bet on these white boys. Even though Gonzaga wasn't really a white team, I knew what he was talking about. And then I looked at Baylor, and they had like three guys that were built like a young Larry Johnson. I was just like, all right, F this. And I put like $50. Can you swear on this?
Yeah,
by the way?
You can't say bitch.
I was wondering why you said S out of. When you did.
Well, you know what? Half of it is I didn't know. And the other half is I got kids now and they get on me.
Yeah.
So I was actually going to ask you about Gonzaga because I feel like that That was a game that probably drew your attention, especially to Timmy, the guy that had the mustache.
You ask me about my green smoothie because I'm an old man?
No, that's you're just Hollywood Bill. That was expected. I was wondering why you weren't drinking your green juice earlier.
Yeah, we've had you on for so many years that we've seen the transition where you gave up drinking like 2 years ago. We just expect this now.
Mm-hmm. You're in your yoga studio right now, which looks lovely.
7:30 to midnight are the hardest hours of my day.
But
just sitting there alone with my own thoughts.
When it came to Drew Timmy and his mustache, did you see him doing the stash celebration when they were losing by 15 points? Because I watched that, and I actually thought in that moment, if Bill Burr is watching this, he is fucking pissed off right now at his television to see that guy celebrate.
What is the stash celebration? Oh, he scored a bucket.
He had the Fu Manchu. When he dunks, he'll go like this. And they were down by 15 points in the second half, and he was doing the stash celebration.
He would probably argue that that gets me into my game. That's part of my ritual, like Nomar with the gloves and stuff. I don't know. I have no idea, but I will. Yeah, that is weird. Like wrong emotional. That happens so much in football.
Yeah.
A corner will, lay out a receiver or something like that or do something. After two touchdowns have already been thrown on his side of the field, they're down by like 21. They're not going to win the game, but they know. I think that they've learned. They're Hollywood now. I think athletes are Hollywood. They know that this is going to be on SportsCenter. So if I score a bucket or a touchdown, put a little mustard on it, do a little dance, I got a bigger chance of getting a little, I don't know, time on SportsCenter.
Yeah. We had this debate on the show today. And we have to ask you, is Julian Edelman a Hall of Famer?
Oh, God. I can't tell you last time I looked at stats. I will say...
That's better. That's better that you didn't look at stats.
I'll say this about him. Whenever we needed a first down, whenever we needed a big play, somehow that guy got open. And I would say that catch that he had against Atlanta... Well, he split those two corners and caught it like an eighth of an inch off the turf. It's my phone. I would put that arguably, one of the greatest Super Bowl catches of all time. I mean, I'm thinking only the Lynn Swann one, just because it's a classic degree of difficulty. I mean, I look at him like he was on the modern day Steelers of the 70s. And he was our Swan or Stallworth. And both of those guys are in. I know a lot. I don't know what his career numbers are. I saw them quickly yesterday. I think you'd need at least like five figures in the 10,000s or whatever. But I don't know. He had a ton of playoff yardage. I don't care, man. The guy's won three. He gave us three Super Bowls. I hope I put him in there.
There you
go. I'm
going
to Canton. I've seen a lot of people in there that I couldn't believe got in there. So maybe, yeah.
All right.
If it's baseball, they're so cunty, they wouldn't put him in. But I think he definitely has a shot. He's got the James Worthy, big game James vibe.
Yeah. Robert Ory.
Robert Ory, exactly. He passes the eyeball test. We were saying earlier, he has a lot of moments. He has a lot of signature plays that you remember. And you can't tell the story of football without telling the story of Julian Edelman.
Yeah.
And did he throw more touchdowns than Walter Payton? That's what I want to know.
Ooh.
He also had that. He also had that ability.
Right, probably.
He did throw a couple at least, right?
Isn't it amazing that Walter Payton ran for all those yards, never had a major knee injury or anything like that, yet somehow those kangaroo turf shoes went out of business?
Yes. Yes. It's true. Because that's that should be... Like the, what were the other shoes that someone...
The jump soles.
No, I'm trying to think of, there was someone...
Grant Hill. Grant Hill almost lost his career wearing Fila.
Yeah.
Well, he did.
Derrick Rose took down Adidas for a minute there because it was he kept on getting ankle injuries and he was Adidas, number one athlete.
And Zion Williamson tanked Nike stock by 3%
two years ago when
he stepped out of his shoe.
Yes.
Single-handedly did that.
Yeah.
Bill, I have to tell you, I watched your performance on Saturday Night Live a few months ago, and it was awesome. It was one of those things where everybody on the internet felt strongly about it one way or the other. And I know that you have to have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder sometimes when you go on stage, because I saw that you made fun of K-pop the other day. And when you go at BTS, that's the worst fan base.
I don't even know what K-pop is.
It was BTS and the Korean pop bands.
I made fun of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, you got to understand that making fun of shit is my job. I don't even remember the stuff. I don't even remember half the stuff that I say. I do a podcast by myself, no guests. So I'm looking at news and I make fun of everything.
Right. No, I get it. I'm just saying, like, going after K-pop is, you do have a death wish if you do that. They're by far, like, the strongest fandom on the internet.
Did I do that recently?
I think you said, made like an offhanded remark at the Grammys.
This is the best.
No, I didn't.
This is the best because you are like kind of impervious.
No. I introduced the Latino and classical music.
Yeah, and you got like the internet tried to cancel you, and you just don't even respond, which I think is
the
greatest.
They actually didn't. It was actually a bunch of people who were saying they were sick of cancel culture that was keeping that going.
So you're trending for this actually goes back to the Julian Edelman.
I actually wasn't trending. They were just using me as a way so everybody could talk, act like they had a mohawk, and they don't give a fuck about cancel culture, man. I don't pay attention to any of it. I tweet about game. I'll tweet if I'm watching a game.
Yep.
And I'll I'll write something self-deprecating. But other than that, I don't really post videos. It just creeps me out when it goes, can we have access to your pictures and videos? It's like, forever? Are you going to be like, I don't know. I just feel like there's always this fine print to that stuff. So,
but you,
I don't know. Yeah, I ignore all of that shit because I know where my heart is. I'm not really, if I really said something malicious and meant it, like, trying to hurt somebody,
right.
I would be on social media following it. But if it's just, the silliness of that. And then there's a bunch of women on there that are giving like regular, rationally minded feminists like my wife a bad name. They'll see it, not even know what it is. This one woman wrote, it was the funniest shit ever. She goes, this is why all white men white males need to be kept in cages. That was one of my favorite. And that's just one of those things. It's like, if I said some shit like that.
Yeah, but that's funny. I think we need to laugh more about shit like that. Like,
no, I definitely think it's funny, but it's like my thing is the only reason why I'm kind of teasing her a little bit is like if I said that, the exact same thing, and just substitute male for female, then I would be, she would try to ruin my career. But like, I don't know. Yeah. I do find it funny. White women talking about like how like acting like they're so oppressed when you see like they can really kind of do whatever they want. They can kind of say whatever they want because if you don't fit the narrative.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what these jerk offs are paying attention to. Like, as they sit there, we're looking for people that are in positions of power that are abusing it. Yeah, and it's like, unless they have a vagina.
Right.
They have a vagina. They can kind of do like they can be as big an asshole ever. You don't care. Oh, that's not true. I have a friend of mine got canceled for a fucking analogy.
Who's that?
I don't want to say the name because I don't like digging it back up again.
Yeah, that's fair.
She's got it going again. I don't want to pick the scab, but it's just one of those things. Like, you're kind of proving her point here.
I think though that you like as a whole, we should all just laugh about everything. Like that person, if someone says, "Oh yeah, all white men deserve to be in cages," I should just be like, "That's the greatest parody of all time. Like that's hilarious."
Dude, when you want to say like laughing about stuff, I remember one time speaking of the Klan, that's a great clip right there. Cut that out, Bill Burr today. Speaking of the Klan. I remember one time there was this clip on the internet. And they were marching down the street and there was some guy walking parallel to them along the sidewalk playing a tuba and playing like and just made them look like the complete jerk offs that they are. And it was like, I feel like that type of thing combats it so much more than yelling and screaming. And like, I shouldn't even said those fucking jerk offs because that will get their back up and dig in more. But like, if you just sort of laughed more at stuff like that, I think I'm probably oversimplifying this.
No, you're right.
I think to an extent, it is like a little bit of an oversimplification, but what you're saying, I think is true where it's like, if you see people that you don't like yelling at somebody, there are certain subsets of people that are going to be like, I'm going to join that side because the people I already don't like are mad at them. You know, they see that as their home. Whereas if you're just making fun of them, it kind of takes all the allure out of anybody wanting to join that side, out of like, you know, being like giving a big fuck you to the people they already don't like.
Yeah, I think, people are really complex, and it doesn't take much for people to see something that triggers something from their childhood, and then they're just going to be a contrarian for fucking contrarian's sake. I will tell you that, you know, they were talking about reparations for African Americans, that some state or something was finally doing it. And of course, some white guy has to chime in, and he goes, yeah, all they need is a time machine. I just wish I could find that person, like this latest guy where he's literally dressed in military fatigues. We've been doing nothing but blowing the troops for 20 years. I support the troops, hooking them up with seats, announcing it. Everybody's supporting the troops. And it's just, he is in that uniform and he's still treated the way he's just like, you don't need a time machine. So I wish more people could kind of, I don't know. There's something about human beings that like, we just get on teams.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know,
rather than just taking yourself out and just looking at something and being like, is this right?
Right.
Is this wrong? And like those white people, they go, just comply. I love that one. It's just like, they tried that. The relationship has been broken down and it's not their fault and they don't trust them. And then it just sort of fucking escalates. It's really horrible to watch. And these fucking white people that chime in and give black people advice as though they're living a white life is, you know, that's the kind of shit where you're like, oh, I get why people wouldn't take a vaccine. I understand this.
The we were talking about it on Monday. It was something totally different, but we were basically boiling it down to like, if you look at the internet and you look at everyone, every subsect on the internet, it essentially boils down to people just looking for friends and they just want a community. So if they find someone who has one opinion that's like theirs, they'll hop in and be like, yeah, this is our opinion now.
I do that.
Yeah. We're all looking for friends.
I exist. This is what I look at: old trucks. I watch animals killing each other, you know, elk versus bear, whatever. I watch all of that shit. I used to watch fight videos, but there's just too many sucker punches nowadays.
Yeah,
I hate that stuff. And then also, once a guy's knocked out, the continued hitting is just like, come on, you won the fight, it's over. So, I exist in a very small part of the internet. And then I watch videos on aviation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to talk aviation? Last night, yeah. I was watching some Gulf War fighter, like some dogfights that took place there. I don't know what it is about watching those things, but they get my blood going. Like I get amped up if I just watch an airplane take off of a carrier.
Well, just think of how scared you get during turbulence on a Southwest flight. Now imagine you're in a plane and somebody's trying to shoot it out of the sky. Another plane is, I mean, I can't, there was a great, this book called Fly Boys. And George Herbert Walker, the first Bush, told this story of like, you know, he was like 19, learned how to fly, and he'd go on these missions knowing every time he might not come back, and you come back and your roommate didn't. And you had to like block that out. And he was talking about how you would go out, you'd get into these fights, drop your bombs or whatever, get into dogfights. And when you came back, he said you'd be so scared, in shock of what just happened. Like he landed one time on an aircraft carrier and one of the higher ups said, how you doing, son? And he opened his mouth and no words came out. And he goes, that's all right, son, go down to sick bay. And he goes, you go down to sick bay and they give you like two fingers of scotch or three fingers of scotch. You take a belt. And he goes, the funny thing is it worked. And then it kind of brought you around. And just to think, to just do that once, to just do the fact that then the next day he knows that this could happen again and again and again and again. And these guys were 19 years old and then you fast forward today and you see people like, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm breathing my own carbon monoxide or whatever, carbon dioxide, not monoxide, carbon dioxide. It's kind of funny. We've gotten, I'm including myself. Like, I'm pretty soft, you know?
Are you a guy that, yes, that'll, like, compliment the pilot on a landing, like, casually, ooh, on the way out the door? Because I've always wanted to be that guy, but I'm never confident enough in judging the landing as it happens. So I'm concerned when I go by, it might not have been a good landing. I'm like, hey, nice landing.
If you didn't die and right, they didn't break the plane, it's a fucking great landing. Because you also don't know what they're dealing with. They can be coming in at the last second. You know, you ever feel like when you're coming in like sideways, they're like crap.
Yes.
And you got like 300 people and your own life on the line. And you just got to, I don't know how they do that. The last second, they turn it like this. And sometimes they just, you know, if the wind changes or something, I don't know shit about planes, but they got to set it down like hard. They don't have the options that a helicopter has.
We should honestly clap more. I know that it's always ridiculous whenever we land, like when a plane lands and
no
everyone
clapping.
Claps.
I no, hate that.
I like to clap more. I do like to clap.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's incredible that we landed.
It puts you all on the same team, Bill. You're over here complaining about how nothing's unified anymore. When an entire plane gives a round of applause for a safe landing, you feel like you're all in this together.
All right, fair enough. But I will tell you, there's like douche chills. I actually also feel it's disrespectful to the pilot that you have. You know what I mean? Would you clap if, you know, Jordan was just doing a shoot around?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What about at the end of movies?
Well, Michael I guess Jordan, we're different
yes,
that way.
Yeah, what about the end of movies? I'll clap at the end of a movie sometime.
If it's great.
I mean, yeah.
Listen, if we're in ridiculous turbulence, okay, and I think I'm going to die and that guy lands it, oh, yeah, I'm fucking, I'll go nuts.
Have you ever clapped at a movie in
but
your
if it's
house?
A sunny fucking day? I mean, let's not get crazy. First of all, those fucking guys, by their second turn, they already got it on autopilot after you started, and they're up there shooting the shit. They take naps up there.
So, clap for autopilot. Clap for the technology.
Well, you find me the person that invented it, and then the person that installed it, I'll do that.
Okay.
Have you ever watched those videos where they do the sideways landing into the wind shear? Those videos, I feel like you would really enjoy.
I just watched one recently where a guy got into instrument weather. And his pitot tube, which is what the air goes into, it controls your altimeter, your vertical airspeed, and your airspeed. And he was in the clouds, and he forgot to put the heater on because he flies in Texas. He was going across country. It didn't think to him that he iced it up. So he gets himself into IFR, and he loses all of those gauges. And it's the fucking alarms going off, and he has to remain calm. Dude, I was sitting there. I mean, I knew he lived because it was his video, but I was just sitting there like my palms were sweating. I don't do well with that, and I don't do well with people walking those trapeze people with no net like that on a wire. Did you ever saw that documentary?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I knew he survived, but like I just was like – I wanted to jump out of my own skin watching that shit. So I watch a lot of videos – because I'm trying to get my instrument rating right now. I watch a lot of videos of people, you know, flying in instrument weather and stuff. It's really, really fascinating.
Wait, so when you do get instrument rated and you land a plane with somebody else in it, do you want them to applaud for you?
No, I fly helicopters, and helicopters aren't rated anyways to fly in instrument weather because they're inherently unstable, where a plane is stable. So you'd have to have like a really expensive one that has autopilot for it to get rated. And I'd have to be making Tom Cruise money.
So what is it about watching videos like that? Because I'm the same way. I don't like heights. I don't like the Man on Wire documentary. I hate watching the Russian bridge walking videos that are everywhere. Where they're
the people just climb up a structure?
Yeah, like the 15-year-old kids hanging off. I hate it, but I watch them. And I hate it while I watch it. What is that like? What does that say about you that you love watching these videos that you hate?
No, I don't watch them. I don't watch them. I'm not going to watch some kid just hanging off that or jumping from one building to another building. I don't want to watch that. But like I never heard the story of that guy on the wire, and it fascinated me. And I said to myself, "Well, I know he lives, so there's no reason to get nervous." But like, I'm one of those people, like I don't go to horror movies because I just buy in. I take the ride every time. They scare the shit out of me. Like, remember when biggest one I remember coming up was like Blair Witch. And there were so many people like, that movie's dumb. That movie didn't scare me at all. I was just like, I saw it alone on the midnight showing after a set at the Laugh Factory, and it scared the shit out of me. So yeah, I don't watch shit that I don't like. I don't want to watch.
I see, I'm the opposite. I like to watch the, like, if I know the plane's going to crash, I'll watch it. I don't know why. That's fucked up of me. I know it's fucked up of me. But like skydivers.
Well, I watch those skydivers videos.
Yeah, or skydivers. Like
I don't watch that.
Yeah, I watch it. It's probably very fucked up to admit out loud. But like those things, those obviously I watch more out of like the gawking. And then my internet is essentially like if you show me a puke video, I'll laugh no matter what. Anytime someone pukes,
you know what's
I'm
crazy?
Laughing.
If you were actually there and you saw a guy skydive and the chute didn't open and he bounced, that would be so fucking traumatic.
Correct. Correct.
But you watch it on video, I have to think that there's a little bit of – there's always a price to pay.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like, you know, it's like watching porn. Like, I probably, watched it almost every day for, like, 15 years in a row. I know that did psychological damage. Just because stuff that was like, oh, my God, that's fucking horrific. The line just keeps getting moved. So then I found myself in the end just watching it laughing, like looking at like tropes in porn.
Yeah, no, I read an article it might have been a couple years ago about the team on Facebook that removes sensitive images and videos and how they all have like legit PTSD. Like they have psychological issues because they've been watching that stuff constantly. Yeah, I don't go I seek it out. Let me be on the record here. I don't seek it out.
Hey, nobody's coming at you.
No one's coming at me. When it's like, I'll be watching like a skydive thing and it will be like on Instagram, be like, do you want this sensitive info? You know how it has the warning? I always give it to me. I want it. Give it to me.
What I do is then I look at the comments. And if I see one that says, yeah, that dude's dead, I don't watch it.
That's smart.
Yeah, see, I usually watch that shit.
So
fuck.
I used to watch, like, I remember distinctly going on a vacation one time, and they had the Faces of Death videos in the house that we were renting, and we put it in, and it was tough to get through.
It's jarring. Really,
and I even, like, to this day, I can remember every single thing that I saw on it. And, yeah, it does fuck with you to a certain extent.
Yeah, we rented that. Before there was a Blockbuster, we rented, at the local video store, we rented one of those. Some of it was bullshit, but a lot of it was like, I think real. We thought it was real anyway. It was fucking horrific. And I remember that night my mother made lasagna, and I almost puked when I saw it.
That's with you forever.
That sauce and meat. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, man. All right, so.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, so you mentioned your podcast, which I listen to. Is there, you're just rambling to yourself. Is there ever a moment where you're like, what am I doing? Is anyone even recording this? Because you could, at times, you could probably just do it forever and never hit record, and it would be therapeutic.
Yeah, I always, I definitely think, the voices are definitely going, is this funny? Does anybody care? There's all of that.
Because it's incredible that you're like, I always listen, whenever I listen to someone who does a solo podcast, I'm amazed at their ability to keep the conversation going and not have it feel awkward. And I'm like, man, I would, it, like 5 minutes in, I'd be like,
you
who
do
the
it.
Fuck
you
am I talking to?
But you wouldn't have to do an hour the first time. You just do five. It's like building a comedy act. You don't just come out like, I have to do an hour. Just 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 9 minutes, 13. You just, next thing people write, I get to read advertisements. People write in questions.
But there's no one in the room. That's the part. Like, if there was one person in the room who was looking at you and like laughing or like nodding along, that's at least something.
Right.
But there's times when there's just literally you're just talking to yourself.
So that's what I'm thinking, because when I used to do more writing, I would know if I was doing a good job because sometimes I would be able to make myself laugh and take like a little pause. If I wasn't making myself laugh, I was like, this sucks. But when you're just speaking into a microphone, you don't have that opportunity to just like stop and laugh at yourself or like feel that what you're doing is funny. So like, are there ever any shows?
I laugh. I say something crazy, I laugh. But I also, when I upload it, I have a tendency to listen to the first 20 minutes almost every time. So I kind of get, a sense. It's almost because I never listen to stand-up sets, so it's kind of good. I get a sense of my pacing, if I'm going too fast, if there's things that I felt, you know, if I was in a bad mood and something, oh, man, that sounds worse than the way I was thinking it, which is something you really have to watch out for, you know, when you're joking around, is it, you got to make sure you're in sort of a happy, playful mood.
Yeah.
Because even though you're still joking, it won't come off that way. And then, you know, the hairy leg chicks get all upset.
It is crazy how much the mood that you're in at that time translates to an audience and how quickly they can pick up on that. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, if someone's on stage having fun, like the crowd will get into it unless they were already animals and maniacs and stuff. But yeah, there's definitely there are things in my act that if I am in a bad mood, they could take it becomes a completely different vibe. The whole set just kind of feels like I need a shower afterwards. Mm-hmm. Like the fuck happened. So, but that's something you have to learn as a comedian. So I've learned that. So and when I start to feel that, I can kind of stop it as it's happening now, where before, you know, shit, when I was back in New York and I was sleeping on a futon, I had nobody in my life. I could have like a whole week of shows like that. It just, you know, in New York was a little, it was different back then where, you know, I don't know. New York beats you up in a different way now. It's sort of becoming like the Dubai of fucking. It's just the level of money. It was always ridiculously high. Now I go out there, it's just like there's not even a shithole in Manhattan anymore that you can move into. Everything looks like these glass towers. It's, I don't know where all that money's coming from.
So, yeah. So going back to what you were just talking about, like, I kind of see that in the SNL set that you did, or the opening monologue. You were like smiling while saying all these things, and it was fucking hilarious. And I also think about your the lotion joke that you did.
Yeah,
you're talking about how you white people don't know that their skin's always itchy because they just need lotion. You had to wait until you're like 35, and then the punchline when you like close that out. If you had said that with like a frown on your face or like seeming angry, you're right. Like the crowd would have turned on you in an instant, but instead they were all laughing along with you. Do you have to like meditate before a show? Do you have to think happy thoughts to make sure you're projecting like positive energy?
No, but I definitely try not to be thinking anything when I go on stage. I was just talking to some buddy about that. A lot of times when I go on stage, as I'm walking to the mic, I'm singing a dumb song that doesn't even exist just to empty my head. So I'm not thinking of anything. So I can kind of just start like, I don't know. It's like if I go like, I'm starting with this joke and then the joke, and then I walk out there and I'm between my ears. Mm-hmm. And then I'm just up there like, hey, how is everybody doing? I feel like a robot. So I'll kind of like just walk up to the mic like, da-da-dee, doing this again. What the fuck's wrong with me? Hey, what's up, everybody? Just sort of like just doing that. It's also a stupid song. It doesn't rhyme and I can't sing. So it puts me in a stupid mood, a silly mood. And then I get into like that sort of mood, and then I'm having fun, they'll have fun, and then yeah, the more sort of lighthearted and silly you are, the it kind of opens up what you can talk about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would. Yeah, and then the other side is you want a nice mix of people in the crowd. You know, like the lotion bit, it helps if it's not in front of an all white crowd because they're not going to know what I'm talking about. It has some racial vibe to it. And then, you know, there's people out there that don't know the difference between a joke about race and a racist joke. I remember that a long time ago, these idiots ran this website and they go, the reason why Bill gets away with doing racist jokes is because they're so goddamn. And I told him, I said, buddy, I'm not doing race. I'm doing jokes about race.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was actually doing that joke about going up to Harlem to see the woman who's now my wife. And that joke was literally just a fish out of water. And, you know, white guy goes up to Harlem back when Harlem was, you know, Dan Natterman used to have a joke back in the day, said 96th Street is the last street a white guy can legally live on. And then it changed like that. So it was a joke about that. But these people wrote it and they said, rather than saying it was about race. And that's when I was young, too. So, of course, I was like mortified, like going, oh, my God, everyone's going to think I'm racist now. And then I learned, like, oh, no, this is just this little dumb website. And this is just a handful of people. So I kind of learned. That's another reason why I don't, like, read comments and shit. Like, if I put something out, what I do is I read until the first one that hammers me, right? And I'll be like, all right, when, like, you know, 10, 15 comments, that's pretty good for the internet. That's pretty good. All right. So I think it's doing all right. Then I wait for my reps to call me to say, like, you know, hey, you got to push that more, or it's doing great, or whatever.
Yeah, it's like playing press your luck.
Yeah,
you keep reading until you hit the whammy, and then close
out. That's it. Somebody craps out, and I just take my money off the table.
It also is an impossible thing to tell, especially people who are, like, maybe just starting out in podcasting or whatever it may be, to, like, don't read the comments, never read the comments, because we all read the comments when we were starting, and then eventually you get to a point where you have the confidence where you're like, hey, I don't need to read the comments all the time, and that totally changes your perception. But I think everyone has to live through it.
I have a lot of empathy for younger people that are coming up with the level of just scrutiny, and just like how, like, as mean as hecklers were when I came up, it wasn't the level of mean that's on the internet, because you're removed. It's like the shit that people will say about pro fighters. It's like, you would never say this if they were in the room. So I really feel bad for, like, a lot of younger performers. Because you're so young, you don't have any of you start to build walls, like, you can't fucking hurt me, you know?
Yeah.
For people like that. And, like, but when I was young, I was just sitting there, you know, head right on a tee for you to drive down the fairway. And I just can't imagine these kids nowadays when they come up, that there's that level of, it's just people just taking their childhood out on you.
Yeah, no, I actually think, like, it happens at Barstool Sports a lot too now, because I think back to, like, you know, 8 years ago when it really was only, like, you know, 10 of us, and it was a little club, and it was the people who were, it was a community. Now we're so much bigger. Someone shows up and gets hired, and they're just fucking out to the wolves instantly. Like, they just get smoked instantly. And I don't know how they come back from that creatively.
And you have such a passionate fan base that anybody new is just going to get, like,
right.
They have, like, half a second to prove themselves, I would think. But you guys have been such a fun thing to watch. My favorite thing was whenever anybody would try to come at you guys. And I thought that the whole way that they didn't understand you guys, and the whole way they just, there was this really weird shift on the left where they became everything that they claimed the right to be. These certain segments of them where it was just like, these are guys that are into sports and like hot chicks. Therefore, they're this, 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 and this, and this is all toxic. My favorite thing was when that idiot said that your female CEO was there in name only.
Yeah.
He came back like, I grew this business by 80%. He was actually being sexist. And once again, because it didn't fit the narrative, how come that guy didn't get taken out?
Well,
you know,
I think it all goes back to the fact that the people that run a lot of the media companies and a lot of people that write at other media companies just hate our boss, just at, like, on a personal level. And so then, therefore, everything else that happens over here is bad, no matter how much they would agree with it or not agree with it. But
I think it says a lot about you if you hate a self-made man. That shows that you can start from nothing and still grow it into what you guys are all doing over there. Like, there's certain people that look at that and they get inspired by it. And then there's these other people. I don't know what kind of people they are, but they see it and they want to ruin it. They want to destroy it. And it's,
that's the change that I've had, at least mentally, because it used to bother me so much. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to keep doing what I do for the people that like it. And the people who don't like it will never like it, and they'll always hate me, and it just is what it is.
This is what I take comfort in. I have two friends of mine that think the Beatles are overrated. So I just look at it like, if the Beatles are getting shit,
yeah,
like,
true.
I'm pretty sure my truckload of shit is coming. So it just comes with the territory, and, like, you know, I don't read it. I try not to read it. Don't respond to it. It just is. It's sort of a new It's like a new sport, like when Frisbee football came up. Another new sport is just going on the internet and trying, oh, look at this guy made his dream, or this woman made her dream come true. Let's see if we can end it.
That's it. It is true.
That's how I fill myself up as a human being, as I try to end other people's dreams.
I mean, honestly, it's a lot easier to do that. So I can see in the short term, like, yeah, you get a couple quick dunks off, you start feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Why am I not happy? Why I spend all day just shitting on things and trying to pick people apart online. Why am I not fulfilled in my life? That's my favorite.
Yeah. Not saying I've got life figured out, because
none of us do.
I mean, you're opening up for the Klan. Yeah, so.
There's a reason why I binge drank the way I did. It wasn't because I was a happy guy.
Yeah, and now you got smoothies. But, Bill, this has been awesome. We appreciate it. Everyone go. If you are in one of the cities that Bill's going to be in, make sure you head out there. Comedy is back. Bill Burr's back on the road. Like I said, he's going to start in Vegas. He ends in Phoenix. He's going to be hitting everywhere in between.
I got Red Rocks. Red Rocks is a big one I'm looking for.
Oh, hell yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Hell yes.
Yeah. Come out to a Colorado State game and then go to the show.
Have you ever performed at Red Rocks before?
You know, I did a for Wendy at the Comedy Works. I did a thing where there was an animated short festival, because it isn't just like huge bands. They have like all these cool movies. You can go to movie night there and stuff, as far as I know. So they hired her to bring some comics out to do a little bit of stand-up right before these animated movies. So I performed in front of a bunch of animation fans that had no idea who I was, and it didn't go well. So the answer to your question is, yes, I have, and I didn't have a good set.
It's a great venue, though. I want to go out there. I bet you the mountains are so blue in Colorado.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But,
if you guys want to go, let me know. Let me know. I'll hook you up.
I love it. I love it. Well, thank you, Bill. It's always a pleasure. Always fun to have you on, and good luck on the tour.
All right. I hope to see you in person in a mask-free world.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. We'll see you.
Thanks,
you.
Bill.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, let's do some FAQs. I almost used cap correctly there, but I'm staying out. I'm staying out of it.
No cap. You almost used it correctly.
I'm staying out. I know when I'm beat,
but
the internet has me beat.
Here's the thing. You don't have to say cap. All you have to do is just you fire off the memes. The memes are really what's the attractive part.
All right, I'm fine with the memes. I'm a meme-aholic.
Just if you see somebody capping online, just...
That part, I don't know.
It's like pornography. You just, you know it when you feel it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So I'll give it a
try. Self-bonking on that one.
Self-bonk. Where's our bonk?
Oh, it's right here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bonk yourself. I know there's a, as I get there up in age, I'm learning to just give up a little bit more when it's like, hey, this trend, like the fucking TikTok, I walked in the office today. Everyone was like, the office is a buzz about Tessa and Jessa and
Nessa.
Josh and Nessa. And I said, listen. Do it the old-fashioned way. Put it on MTV and I'll watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I can't follow. Give me a fucking... Put it on Bravo. I'll watch the shit out of this drama. Otherwise, cannot follow.
They got my attention because they just featured Travis Barker on a song. That's an easy way for me. If you have Travis Barker playing behind you, it doesn't matter if you're singing. If you're doing stand-up, you could be delivering a eulogy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to watch if it's featuring Travis Barker in the song. Actually,
so you're going to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians?
Not that bad.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. For sure. I'm Cap. That's Cap.
Drama? I'm in for the drama. Just put it on TV.
Travis is dating Courtney. He got her name tattooed, or she got his name tattooed.
Scott Disick doesn't get enough credit for being an all-time villain.
The Lord.
Like, remember that time he shoved money into the waiter's mouth? That if that happened today, he might have been publicly executed. That was a fucking douchebag as douchebag gets. But he knew how to play his role.
He knew how
to play his role. What are we doing? FAQs?
QAs? Yeah. FAQs?
Why did PFT stop wearing the cowboy hat? Everyone knows it's a good look on him.
Everyone did know that.
Like, I thought it was a good look.
Universal. Big Cat was a big proponent of the cowboy hat. Sometimes you just got to stop doing stuff. That's great life advice, actually. When I said it, it sounded really profound coming out of my mouth.
Yeah. Stop
just,
doing stuff.
Sometimes just give up on shit.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was more of just like a distraction to get me through. It was like a three-week period where I was like, I just got to switch something up.
I think you've actually done a good job, though, of laying the base work that when you do it now, it looks natural. So, like, you put in the hard work so that people are like, hey, cowboy hat guy. So when you do it now, I wouldn't have the same reaction when I did initially where I was like, ooh, yeah. I don't know. This is a big change. Now it's like, it's part of your repertoire.
I think the next time I wear it, I'll also have the boost of like, oh shit, the cowboy hat's back.
Right.
And then that's a whole new buzz going.
It's part of your game. You are now a five-tool player.
Mm-hmm.
Running, throwing, cowboy hatting.
Running for power.
Stealing.
Running for power.
Running for speed.
The Ephus pitch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, Zach Greinke. When he throws the Ephus, it's so electric. It really is the best. Mm-hmm.
In the early days of PMT, Big Cat would always say, loser has to kill a debutante whenever you guys would bet
Jesus
on something.
Christ.
Yeah. What did that even mean?
So it was just, we were coming up with stupid stakes for our bets that we were putting out.
What's
every
a
week.
Debutante?
A debutante is like a 15-year-old girl who's
what?
Finally yeah. stepping out onto yeah. the stage. As they used to
Whoops.
Do debutante balls.
I said that?
Yeah, so I'll jump on this grenade for you. I think it was my idea to say it,
yeah.
but it was literally just because we wanted to think of the most like obnoxious dumb
yeah,
thing
yeah.
to make the stakes of our bet.
It's when the I mean we've gotten caught in this a few times. It's the old like I'll eat my column bet that a newspaper columnist does or a radio guy. This is why we have the ass-eating thing. Like, we, unfortunately, essentially just can't be okay watching other people do lame bets and be like, oh, that's a lame bet. We have to be like, that's a lame bet. And on top of it, we will commit murder and then eat each other's asses out.
Mm-hmm.
Would you still watch sports if you had to write a 3-page report for every game you watch? Signed, Jabusiness.
Are you talking about, like, being a journalist?
Every game?
Yeah, you had to write a 3-page report for every game you watched.
What size font?
Honestly, no. That's so much work. I'd watch like a couple games. Would you watch? There's no way that you could watch. Think about that. Every NFL Sunday would be a book.
Would be tough.
You're right about
Red Zone counts as one game.
Okay, so you're right about the font. You just basically go
double space,
12.5. In you know, indent
margins,
paragraph, space between the paragraph was always the best move because it not only gives you extra space, but it also you can be like, it's a classy look.
Mm-hmm. And then you put your name in the top right corner, and then give it like 4 extra spaces
and
down.
And the
before
date,
you start. And then a big title.
The date, yeah.
You got to title your essay.
Yeah, we could do it.
I would do it on Sundays because Red Zone counts as one game. Red Zone 2 counts as really just 3/4 of a game when
mm-hmm.
it's 4 games or 3 games in the afternoon, and then the night game. So that's 9. I would write 9 pages after an NFL Sunday.
Here's something we can do. Billy, you're not next fall you won't be in school anymore, right? So you'll have a ton of free time.
Yeah. This is true.
Okay, so I'm not going to make you do every game, but I wouldn't hate it if you did a 3-page report on Monday Night Football every week. I think that's easy, right? And then we read it on the Tuesday show?
We could do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's not hard, Billy.
Yeah, you could do that.
One paper every single week to keep you in writing in case you want to go back to school. If this whole career doesn't work out and Navy
True.
SEALs don't come calling, we'll just do that.
Perfect.
Okay.
Monday Night Football.
By but Billy Football.
Football is bold.
Yeah.
So you're incorporating your name into the actual write-up.
Yeah, that's true. You can space it however you want.
Perfect. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Perfect. I'm excited for this.
Sup, boys, especially Slick Willie. Last year, I offered Billy $1,000 to charity for Vanny's steering wheel, but he declined because Blake Griffin would hypothetically hop in and take it for $100,000. He obviously never did. Does Billy hate charity, or was it too much work to ship a steering wheel?
You are using Blake Griffin's name for
leverage?
For leverage?
I had this, like, idea that we'd have this like huge auction.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Friends would
you,
come.
We you
all
hold the keys.
We wanted you to do that.
I know, but
as
I have to chop
assignment.
It up.
You can do that.
I will get
we
that
asked
done.
You to do that.
No, you're
We've
not.
Asked
I
you.
Will get that done by
we
the end of the
We want
summer.
You to do that.
No,
but yeah, I will get that money in the summer.
No, you're not going
to
do it this
but
summer.
But it sounds like a guy was going to.
Yeah, you already gave up $1,000.
Well, I didn't want to sell the steering wheel for $1,000 and then have to get a new steering wheel.
You know
to
what?
Drive the
I'm actually going to I'm gonna side with you here, Billy. The steering wheel should be in the studio.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like
everything else.
One of the
sold.
Good ones.
Yeah.
Okay. But let's not act like Billy's actually going to follow through and dissect the entire van and sell it during this.
PFT. I don't know. He said he was.
No. It's stump season. Billy's got like 17 more stumps he has to explore.
Get that's graduation that, party
that's,
summer.
That's the problem with Forget Billy. That's actually Billy in a nutshell, right there. Is he can have any assignment put in front of him. And he will get distracted by something as small as a stump.
It was a big stump.
You don't come don't at you, that stump. It was a huge stump. People love the size of that stump.
Like, you are great at you are the best person in the world at getting distracted by things.
It's also great that picture that of Billy and the stump after he said it was a 90-degree day and the water was great. You look at that picture and you get cold. Like, there's no leaves on the trees.
Yeah.
Or swimming in sewage.
Yeah. Don't you come at that stump.
I'm sorry. The stump was nice.
Sup, boys, especially Chonk Cat. Will Jilly Football ever make a return to the show? Cool throwing you, Big Cat. All these fat filter pictures are going around. So you kind of can just...
Where's the filter?
Well, no, but you can kind of be like, no, it's a filter.
No, my face is fat right now. I made a huge fuck up by shaving and getting a haircut at the same time. I didn't eat dinner last night. I didn't eat breakfast this morning.
You're what? On the snake diet?
What? I'm on a diet.
That's not healthy.
Yeah, well, it's how you kickstart it. You got to get your stomach small,
Billy,
bro.
Billy, are you really into diet culture? Because what Big Cat's involved in right now, they call it OMAD.
Yeah.
One meal a day.
If I never eat again, I
that
will be
sounds like
skinny.
A disorder.
Once you reach OMAD, it's a level of intermittent fasting. It's like the ninth level.
Okay. Yeah, and it also is a disorder because the internet's mean to me. Maybe tell the internet to stop being mean to me.
Please stop being mean to Big Cat.
People are just like, I mean, right now, it's also this camera angle. But I'm okay with it because you know what? I am fat. And I need to lose some weight. The camera angle, like, I'm not saying the camera angle's wrong. I'm saying the only way that I can look good is if the camera is literally on the ceiling.
There is something about your face, though, where anytime you make a change to it, it's going to look fat in a way.
It's the shaving.
But then after a few days, it just becomes that's your face and you're not fat anymore.
I got a nice double chin. It's right here. It's flopping around. But we're going to fix it. We're on OMAD. OMAD?
OMAD.
OMAD.
One meal a day.
Dude, OMAD is going to kick everyone's ass. Billy, you're also my fucking nutritionist.
I know. I don't understand what you're doing. I think you're slowing your metabolism down.
No. So then speed it the fuck up, dude.
Well, start eating more. That's how you...
No. Like, what, pizza?
Like small increments.
Why would you eat more if you're trying to lose weight, Billy? That doesn't add up.
More frequently.
You're Big Cat's OMAD, you mad.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get back on the hot dog diet. I'm going to say, fuck it, I'm just going to eat raw dogs all the time. That was the last time I had a legit diet that worked. Just cooking a bunch of, I think
raw dogging during the day or at night?
All the time. You fucking cook me up a hot dog on the grill, I'll eat it. No bun. No cap.
There you go.
Got it.
Got it.
Sup, dudes. What is your go-to sandwich to make at home? PFT looks like a big ham and cheese guy, while Big Cat looks like a PB&J kind of guy.
Favorite sandwich to make at home? I don't make a lot of sandwich. Usually if I'm eating a sandwich, it's something that I buy. Because I like to treat myself to a nice Italian, maybe Philly cheesesteak. But if I'm making it at home, I usually go simple. So I'll go like PB&J. That's usually my jam.
Yeah. Peanut butter and banana or turkey. My favorite is turkey salami and then just put like an entire bag of chips in it. Got to get that crunch.
Mm-hmm.
Is that healthy? Is that good on the diet?
Yeah.
No way is it.
He didn't even let you didn't
He's
listen.
Not, yeah.
He didn't
You're not. You're turkey, no different than Jake getting
turkey,
sucked off.
Turkey, salami.
And an entire bag of chips inside the sandwich. And then I have another bag that's for the side chips.
Okay, that's a problem.
You know what I like though about getting sandwiches from somewhere else that I don't make myself is they're always heavier. Mm-hmm. If I make a sandwich at home, it's usually like it doesn't have that same weight. There's no better feeling than leaving an Italian deli and having a sandwich that's like 10 pounds.
Yes.
Is what, you can tell that a sandwich is going to taste good
based
on how it feels in your hand inside the wrapper.
It's like, so true.
I can never recreate
like
that.
Like a mini baseball bat.
Yes.
That's when you know like I'm about to... Shout out that woman online who Hank sent us the clip who just fucking devours that sandwich. Mm-hmm.
Jake was already DMing her.
She's trying to see
if she could come in here before the show.
She a real one.
Shocking, shocking, shocking skills. If you had to choose between killing Jake, if you had to choose between killing Jake or having to share a house with 10 Billies for the rest of your life, which would you choose?
I'd kill Jake so fast.
Peace. That would be such a chill house.
I'll kill him with my bare hands. I don't care.
I would make sure that it was quick and painless.
That's not
mean. No. Jake, 10 Billies?
Yeah, living with 10 Billies is mean. Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, okay.
Jake.
I'll take one for the team.
If it were on you and the same thing was going towards me, I would tell you to kill me.
Okay.
I couldn't live
I'd jump in front of a train so fast.
All right.
No, actually, nope. NHTSA.
No, we got to
do that. Never mind. I would not do that.
Never do that.
I don't think the 10 Billies would survive. I think they'd eliminate each other slowly, and you just end up with one.
You don't think you could eliminate
But it would
yourself?
Be the strongest.
You'd be the alphaest Billy?
That's why we haven't heard from Dale in a while.
Yeah, that's true. What happened to Dale? Did you kill Dale?
No.
Did you fuck him to death?
Bonk.
Imagine how many reptiles would be in your house with 10 Billies.
Oh, my God.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, Ben.
I know Hank loves vacations, but when was the last time Mr. Commenter and Mr. Cat took a vacation?
This is a question from Hank.
No,
yeah. This is a question from Hank.
You're trying to get us to say how long it's been.
This is the,
so you can be like, wow, that's a really long time. You guys should think about going on a vacation.
There's another really sentimental one.
We'll do some Zoom shows this summer. We'll take some vacations.
I'm getting a beach house this summer.
So there you go.
It's written in the sand. Shows.
Sorry that I have a work ethic that makes me want to always go and put out a product for the people. My fault, Hank.
Don't apologize to me. I'm with it. I'm pro work. Totally.
Absolutely.
Work, vacation when you're dead.
Exactly. sup, Dad?
Wait, Billy really wanted to jump in there, and I have to hear what he has to say.
No,
about
I'm actually
his vacation policy.
As I've gotten to my age, I realize.
No, good. Yeah.
Hold on. Let's just really. That, I really want to embrace this
football. Yeah.
Okay.
I rather take vacations while I'm youthful and can do many things.
Feel right. That.
And as opposed to earlier when you never took vacations before you realized.
Well, I've been in college for the past 4 years, and then before that I was in like high school doing football camp and stuff.
What about
like
2 years, that?
Never actually worked, but you're already ready for the vacation.
Right, but like,
did you do middle school?
You get 2 years off or 2 months off in college in the summertime.
Billy learned.
Yeah, but I was like working.
He wants
like,
the vacation.
I was working other jobs.
You haven't worked a full job.
I've had like
Billy was in
other
the cubes,
jobs,
bro.
You I was in the cubes for one summer, and I worked construction like all through high school. In first 2 summers.
But you haven't even accrued the vacation hours that you now, like, you have to accrue.
Wait, but like,
like, if you went and got a job, right?
Uh-huh.
You couldn't take a vacation the second week.
Technically here you could, because our vacation policy is a joke, but.
Do we even I agree, Hank.
Exactly.
I agree,
it's,
it is.
It's fucked up.
Well, honestly.
People take advantage of it.
Right. It's not that I want to take a vacation. I just want to go places that I haven't been before.
Did Hank do the math in his head?
You guys take advantage of it.
You can go on vacation anytime you want.
Exactly. The shaming.
We can't shame?
No, you can. I'm saying. You take advantage of it.
You could go away for a year. I'll just, every show, be like, welcome to Part of My Take. Hank's still on vacation.
Billy, tell me about the moment when you realized, in all your age and wisdom, where going on vacation was cool.
Well, the thing is, like, at some point, like I've not been to a lot of places, and I want to go there.
Right.
It's not exactly for like vacation.
You don't want to just be an ant marching, places, dude.
Yeah.
You're just a rat in a cage.
Billy's been in war mode for like 17 years.
Sometimes
he needs a beach.
Sometimes people, and this is not a slight at you, Billy, because you're going to probably take the first part of it as that. Sometimes people are like, Billy, why does Billy get to talk on the show? This is why. He is ourselves when we were 22. Like, I love you. This is what I love. Your thought of like, you know what, guys? After 18 years of living in my parents' house and, you know, taking every summer off, and then 4 years of going to college and partying my face off, I realized, you know, life's too short not to take some vacations.
You know what I want you to do, Billy?
But it's not. It's more like I just want to see places.
You know what? No, you know what you should do? We should put Billy in charge of our mystery flight.
Yes,
but we don't know
Somalia.
Billy plans a vacation for us.
Terrible. He'd take us
No, because Billy wouldn't want to stay in the terrible
They'd
place.
Be educational. No,
he,
dude, no, no,
he
no.
Drops, he drops on us in the middle of the Amazon rainforest.
Bro, we'd have
sleep
fun.
On the rocks. Yeah. We'd have fun.
For dance.
It wouldn't be, yeah, like Eastern Europe. Like,
you guys
what the fuck's going on there?
Yeah, like, you guys want to see the Eiffel Tower? I got a stump for you that is so sick.
See the Eiffel Tower.
Petrified forest.
All right, well, and with that was a wholesome one. There's another wholesome one.
That was not a wholesome one. That was a question from you, Hank. You can take a vacation wherever you want.
This one's not a question from me, so. Sup, Dadcat, PFT, and Honk. You guys have already accomplished so much with PMT, but you all seem like guys that keep wanting to do more.
Oh.
What's the professional goal or aspiration you have for yourself?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I would
this
like,
is like a stop and smell the roses.
I would like to keep doing this. I would like to...
That's not an aspiration, though, because you kind of already have
I would like to keep working as hard as I am so that someday Billy can fulfill his dream of vacationing. That's my goal.
It's not vacationing. It's more I just want to travel.
Mm-hmm. That's very similar.
But even for work.
Dude, it's not... Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. We'll travel again. Well, no, you're not invited. Never mind. Sorry. Jake's invited. You're not.
Billy,
you can't.
What if we put Billy in charge of Grit Week?
Oh, my God. No. No.
I mean,
Let's put
think
Billy in charge
work.
Of one day of Grit Week.
Okay.
How about that?
All right.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Let's
Billy
start
did.
With
yeah.
one day. We will be doing Grit Week. We'll all go. All six of us will be on the road. It's going to be fucking great. But one day of Grit Week, you get to be in charge of.
We're going
to
go hiking.
No, see, that's... Okay, fine, but...
But, like, in a cool way.
See, PFT, there's a problem. He's going to fucking... We're just
going
to go
like
see... We're going to interview a stump.
Mm-hmm. I don't like to hike, Billy.
Yeah.
I like to walk places where I'm going there for a reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there'll be a reason why we get there.
I want to walk places to get to a better place to walk.
We should send Billy on Chris Longston.
You want to climb
Kilimanjaro?
Fuck yeah.
I know
you. Water
boy.
That's sick.
Actually, we should, yeah, we should have him. But no, you have to, so we would let you climb Kilimanjaro, but you'd have to carry.
Yeah, 100%.
You didn't let me finish.
Herpes.
No.
30 pounds.
Us.
50 pounds.
Both of us. You have to carry both of us up the mountain.
That would be awesome.
You really think that you can do anything. I love it. This is why we have him on the show.
One day I'll realize my mortality and not want a vacation.
Have you done laundry recently, Billy?
Nope.
It's actually the opposite of what happened.
I can tell because he's wearing the free sweatshirt and no socks.
And Muggsy jeans that are super comfortable.
Oh, dude. You got the Crocs. You have camouflage Crocs on, too.
I mentioned,
what, are you trying to hide from Brett Favre?
When you can't even find a pair of socks, that's when you know it's time to
I mentioned that the pile is, like, all the way back, because it's all the way back, and it took, like, 2 months. And just saying that sentence, Billy, like, ran over and just started, like, grabbing shit. I was like, no, that's not what I said. But here he is.
Anyway.
Jake, you okay?
Yeah, I'm great.
We love you, Jake.
Love you guys, too.
We love you. Well, you know what? One time, you know what? Next week, we'll let you go first.
No.
We'll let you go first.
I was telling PFT, it wasn't the fact that I gave into the joke. It was the fact that I wasn't completely listening to you guys, and I felt disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay, Jake.
But I was doing something for the show, so.
You're
working.
Right. Unlike our other
working
son.
Too hard.
Yeah. Who's ready to vacation at the ripe age of 22.
Jake, have you learned the valuable lesson of needing to take a break from your job to go on vacations?
Yeah, I'm taking one next month.
Fuck good, yeah, Jake.
Good. Aruba.
We're taking vacations this summer.
First Hell one, yeah. like, ever.
I'm going to be tan as fuck.
Let's Personal do it, one. Hank. Let's take some vacations. All right. Numbers.
Shirtless summer.
30.
It's more adventures.
Give me 8.
36.
18. 99. 86.
32.
8. 8 is due.
Oh, I just saw 8 literally popped up. Like,
son of a bitch.
You know how it was right
It'll
there.
It'll happen. 57.
Some ladybugs are males.
First timer.
Love you guys.
Oh, better to be safe than sorry. Take a moment.